Hey everyone, and welcome to The Boundless Show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, here in the studio with Steve and Ted. Hi guys.
Hey Lisa, it's been a long time.
It has.
It's good to be back.
We are just in the middle of summer, and as you well know, our dear friend Ashley got married.
She did.
Not that she's checked in with us. Hello. She should have by now, but
it's
we haven't
like
heard from her
distracted.
Yet. I know. So we'll get the scoop from her as to how that went when she comes back. And then Mott is at, tell us what conference he's at this
week. Mott is at the Association of Marriage and Family Ministries Conference in Arizona in what I understand to be the hottest week of the year. So like 110, 20, something like that.
That's why people have their conferences in places like this, because it's all cheap and stuff.
Yeah.
If you go at the worst time of the year.
Great rates.
That's good. So he's not in our midst. So I'm just here with the two guys, the two remaining, the remnant.
But you know, where three or more are gathered.
That's true. And in honor of Steve completely hyper-spiritualizing that, that will introduce our roundtable today. But first, let me just tell you what's coming up after this. For our culture segment, we're going to be talking with Mac Powell of Third Day. Bless his heart. He gave us some time to talk about his new project, Glory Revealed 2, The Word of God in Worship, 5 copies of which we are giving away to you people, so pay attention. I'll be talking to him. And then our inbox from Josh is going to be on how he likes a girl and feels he needs to tell her, but she's currently in a relationship. So what is appropriate and what isn't? So Steve's going to weigh in on that with me. So, but here we are to talk about God. That's a big topic. Roundtable, God. No, we've talked in the past, as you well know, and if you have not been catching up on podcasts, you need to be. Do you know, I just had someone email me yesterday and say, I just listened to episode 10 again. And I'm like, oh my word, that was so long ago. Yeah, it's cute. But anyway, in one of our roundtables in the past, we talked about quiet times and just what is this thing called quiet time and why do we just get overwhelmed by it? And, you know, 503 awesome ways to have a quiet time and we never seem to be able to do it in the way that we want to. So we've talked about that before as far as tactics. And then last week, for those of you that listened to last week's show, we talked to Phil and Heather Joel about really their commitment to just put their lives on hold and start getting back to a more simple view of living their lives as a family and really understanding what God has for them. And that incorporates a quiet time in their mornings that they do together. So that was amazing. So we're just going to sit here, the three of us, and talk about what God has been teaching us lately through our own quiet times, as well as through preaching that we've been hearing, different discussions we've been having about how God is growing us. Because, people, here at Boundless, we are not lame. We are not about young adults just sitting around and doing nothing. And I'm going to tell you, I watch some reality TV, but it cannot overtake my life. So I have to constantly have checkpoints. So nice. We know that you all are interested in growing too and becoming more mature in many aspects of your life, including your spiritual life and your relationship with the Lord. So let's talk here about what we've been doing and what we've been learning. Guys.
Lisa, I'll jump in to say that I've been doing some kind of quiet time or whatever you call it for a long time. In fact, I think it was either last year or year before last that I committed to going through the entire year, read the 1-year Bible, but then also keep a commentary by the Bible and to really spend time diving into all the difficult passages or the things that I need more understanding on. Also stopping to read the historical context for every book that I was diving into. And it really was a rich year of getting so much more out of the Bible. But this year I felt like I needed to learn more about this idea of a relationship with God, because so many people just keep bringing back that issue. It's all about the relationship with God. It's not about the head knowledge. And I'm wired to be a head knowledge person. I mean, I was telling Candace the other night, I said, I'm just not one of these people who says, man, I am bananas for Jesus. I just love Jesus and want to just love on him every day. And I don't know if it was a masculine thing that guys just aren't as wired to talk about their personal relationship with Jesus and how in love they are with Jesus. But I was realizing I was probably a lot too cerebral about it. I mean, that it is a head thing about the logic and about these other aspects. And so I'm really trying to grow in that area. And I feel like I have a lot of growing to do there. But I recognize without that relationship at the core of it, the head knowledge only gets you so far.
Mm. Steve, you mentioned a relationship with the Lord. Something that my wife and I are thinking about lately is relationships within the church. Mm. Some Saturday nights or Sunday mornings, whichever service we go to, sometimes we're thinking, well, we'll go to the service and maybe one of our kids will be a little restless, so we won't hear much of the sermon, so why even bother going? Uh-huh. Maybe just stay home. But then we think, yeah, the church is about exposition, biblical, you know, unpacking scripture. It's about having a chance to sing some great songs. But a big part of church we're remembering is the relationship. So we're thinking as we're getting in the car, who might we bump into today that maybe we can bless them with something? We can be a listening ear. Maybe they'll bless us, or maybe it'll just be rubbing shoulders. So relationships is a big deal now. So we had some friends over a couple of nights ago and planning on doing some more of that.
Oh, that's good.
I think the whole corporate nature of worship too, Ted, which you alluded to, I mean, the fact that we go to a gathering place is to, you know, stand united with other believers in corporate worship. And you do a lot of, you know, a lot of the hard work, you know, the brass tacks and stuff during the week, and really getting to know the Lord and having him speak into your life and being able to spend time in prayer and devotion. And that's good. But I like to see that. That's what I love seeing going on a Sunday and being able to worship corporately with other believers, and in turn share with them the experiences then that we've had, you know, throughout the week, and be able to kind of you know, I guess keep one another posted on that. And it's interesting because I go to a Presbyterian church. I didn't grow up Presbyterian. I now go to a Presbyterian church, which is like cerebral central. I mean, in fact, I'm on a team at church now that is, our main purpose is to find out how in the world we're going to take every member of our church and move them towards spiritual maturity. That's our goal. And what does it look like to have every program or every thing that we have going on in our church have that function? And if it doesn't, do we scrap it? And if it, you know, if it does, how do we elevate that? And how do we get people involved? And then how do we utilize relationships and utilize our teaching, which we do very well, and some of the things that we have as strengths, to really, and not make it all about, you know, dancing in the aisles, or, you know, we're not going to do something totally different and stuff. But at the same time, do people know that we love the Lord, and do they see it? And are we out there and in the community showing that? So
that's good. You know, this for some reason reminded me of something Kurt Bruner has said. And Kurt Bruner worked here at Focus on the Family for a long time and helped create our Heritage Builders emphasis on passing along your faith to your children. And I
did this segment on the show about spiritual direction. Yeah.
And so as our kids were getting a little older, I called Kurt up and I said, hey, Kurt, we're thinking about doing one of these family nights that you encouraged to create an activity with your kids that really gets them interested in your faith and all. And I want to see if you could give me some pointers. And he said, you know, I don't need to give you a lot of pointers as much as to realize that what's really gonna matter is that your kids associated your faith with a healthy relationship with them, that you enjoyed being together. So if you can have fun in it, that's a real bonus. But that they see that your faith was consistent with how you lived out in the rest of your life. I mean, obviously, it can't contradict this activity you do, and then the next day they see you living totally opposite. But that it really is a matter of they see that this was real and that was part of your relationship. And so that helps me understand more with what your church is going through, that if you do all of that great teaching, but it's not affiliated with great relationship where people say, I want to be in this body of believers and want to be with these people who I see not only learning the teaching, but living it out and living in loving relationships with us, that seems to be a missing ingredient for a lot of people's spiritual growth, is connecting the learning with loving relationships.
Right. Well, and I think that, again, and this is a soapbox of mine, single people have to do that more intentionally, because we're not in marriages where, you know, you're going to get the everyday, get your stuff off my side of the counter, I'm so tired of you right now. I'm so, you know, so we have to go and be intentional about really opening up to others and letting them become a part of our lives. And I don't know if you guys have any, you know, insights on that.
Well, Well, obviously, we're all called to be a part of the body, and we all have our boundaries of where we don't like to go and being part of the body. I mean, what Ted was talking about of realizing, especially with kids, it gives you more excuses to not go be involved with other people because you have your kids and you're already busy. And we all have those points at which we say, awkward, we don't want to be in those people's lives. And so I think everybody has their excuses for why they're not going to live out life in the body. But God calls us to be there, giving and receiving, being part of this group of people that maybe we wouldn't have chosen as our friends, that there are needs to be met, that He's given us gifts and talents that can meet a need in somebody's life. And I think that's an ongoing call for all of us to be committed in a church body, whether it's comfortable or not.
No, I think that's important, Steve. And I think that's why, whatever it was a couple of weeks ago now, I blogged on that kind of concept of iron and what does it look like to ask people to be a part of your life, especially when it comes to some of the harder things, whether that's a bona fide sin or whether that's something where it's just, as you have said, you know, in mentoring relationships, especially as you're hoping to move towards marriage, where are some areas that I could probably improve? And, you know, how do I come across? And am I being relatable? And do I appear to care about people? And am I making that a priority in my own life? So I think it's important, and obviously important to have our number one relationship be with the Lord. I just heard a message. One of my coworkers is desperately trying to get me to love her church, and it's awesome. It's one of these satellite ones, you know, so I have to give her a hard time about, you know, with the big Jumbotron TV screen and stuff. But really good message from this past Sunday that was primarily about marriage, but just talking about how the best way to improve any relationship you're in is to love God. And the more you are loving God and letting God, you know, really evidence Himself in your life, the easier it's going to be to love people and to be loved and kind of have that give and take. So I think that's huge. Well, thanks, guys.
It was good.
Good thoughts.
It's been years in the making, and my skin, I'm shaking from the cold. I am tired from the taking, and my heart won't stop breaking, and I know, moving forward can't be this hard. I'm just trying to find out who I am. Me. Now you're gone, and I know that when the room clears, I'm still here. Who am I when I'm alone? They say time is a healer, it's more like a concealer for a scar. Find us where we are. We are. Who thought it could ever be so hard? I'm just trying to find out who I am on my own. I had you right beside. Now you're gone, and I know that when the room clears, I'm still here. Who am I when I'm the room clears? I'm still here. Who am I when I'm alone?
Hi, friends. For this week's culture segment, I'm interviewing Mac Powell. Those of you who are third day groupies, I guess I can say groupies with that. You will know that Mac Powell is their lead vocalist, kind of a cornerstone for the group there. Well, we're actually going to be talking about his solo project, one of his solo projects, his latest, which is called Glory Revealed 2. Thanks to Mac and his label, we actually have 5 copies of this album to give away. So make sure you read the blog post on this week's show, and we will tell you how to go about getting a copy of this latest album, because they are sitting on my desk right now, and if I don't give them to Boundless listeners, I'm just going to have other random family members and coworkers who want them. So I'm trying to give them to you people because I care about you and I have your back. Okay, I'm just saying. The project is Glory Revealed 2, The Word of God in Worship. Here I am chatting with Mac Powell. Check the blog and get your copy of the album. Okay, well, for today's culture segment, we are joined for this interview by Mac Powell. Many of you listeners know him as the frontman for the Grammy-winning band Third Day, and also Laura Story, who is a friend of Mac Powell and has just collaborated with him, joined him, and participated in a recent project that we're going to be talking about today. So welcome to both of you.
Hey, thanks for having
us. Thanks for having us.
Yay. Okay, well, the project that we're going to talk about is called Glory Revealed 2. Now, those of you out there who follow Mac and have followed Third Day know probably about the front end of that project, which was obviously Glory Revealed 1.
Yes.
So I think it was just Glory Revealed.
It was just Glory Revealed.
And that was released, what, about 2 years ago now?
That's a great question.
I think
it was about 2 years ago. It kind of all runs together, but I believe it was 2 years ago.
Because you can't keep it straight because you're the kind of guy that writes like 5 songs a day, right?
Well, so. I wish that were true, but it's not. No, it's, you know, my day job being in Third Day kind of keeps me busy, so it's hard to keep up with dates of what record was released when and what tour was when.
Sure, yeah. Well, this project actually just released, so it's new this week, and we're excited to have both of you here to talk about it. It's actually, now those who are familiar with the first one know that you have basically taken an album and you have written songs that are actually scripture, and it's a collaboration with a number of different artists. And on this album, you're going to hear obviously Mac, you're going to hear Mark Hall from Casting Crowns, Amy Grant, Natalie Grant, Brandon Heath, a lot of these folks we've had on the show, so our listeners are going to be familiar with them. But why don't we just start out by talking about, you know, why a second project came about and kind of how that came about, because I like this idea of the lodge that you went to and kind of that Americana, you know, vibe that kind of came into this album as a result, and just how all these folks came together to collaborate.
Yeah, well, the first album came out and basically was the idea of David Nasser, who's a great friend of mine, an author and a speaker, and he was writing a book a few years ago and asked me to put together the CD, and he knew from the very beginning he wanted to be very acoustic, organic, very Americana kind of music, and he knew that he wanted every song to contain some scripture, so that when someone memorized the words of a song just from hearing it a few times, they're memorizing scripture as well. And so we put that record out, Glory Revealed. It did really well, and we did a couple of tours with it. We had such a great time on the road with this band of people, this band of brothers and sisters, and making this music together and sharing God's word every night from stage. I really felt like I wanted to capture that energy and that camaraderie for the second album. And so we found a place that was down in South Georgia. It was owned by a good friend of mine, Jeff Foxworthy. He's got this hunting lodge that's very rustic, and yet it was big enough to hold all of us. It had about 10 bedrooms. And so a lot of the players came down, and we set up a studio on the first level and kind of just really had our artist retreat for a week, and just wrote songs together and recorded, and, you know, just ate meals together and had Bible study, and just a great time of having a working retreat together.
Wow, that's cool. And Laura, how did you then get involved? Kind of how were you approached for this?
Well, I had met Mac, and it's kind of funny how I ended up there. We had gotten together for a writing date, and we were just kind of getting to know each other, talking about you know, what we've done in music and stuff, which Mac's list is a whole lot longer than mine. But I used to be in a bluegrass band, and I mentioned that I played upright bass, and Mac said, "Well, you got to come be part of Glory Revealed." And it was neat coming down there and spending those few days. It truly is. It was just gospel community being lived out, and it's neat to see that the CD really has captured so much of that. It's just a bunch of people studying God's word and expressing it through song. It was a neat project to be part of.
What I love about the record of the many things, I know I'm biased, but it's not one of those things that was put together by a record company.
Yeah.
A lot of compilation records are an idea that somebody has, and then the record company picks all these people and puts them together. And this was all just from friends, you know, friends calling friends and asking, hey, do you have any ideas for a record like this? And just sharing each other's songs. And so it's a very, you know, authentic and genuine kind of album.
Yeah, that's cool. And I have to, because I'm just like ghetto, and I always have to throw the opportunity that I have any time to throw in a reference to the Gaithers, because I love them.
Yes.
So I have I have to just mention that. Yeah, I just love them. I mean, I love hip hop and I love the Gaithers.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of back in the early 90s when they did that, you know, that really birthed the whole Homecoming series, and they just gathered around a piano and sang songs that really meant a lot to them personally, and just had a camera running, and all of a sudden they got all these gospel greats singing.
Yeah, we've actually used them as a model before. We've said that this is kind of like a new Gaither Homecoming for young adults. And it's kind of a modern, you know, Gaither Homecoming. And we've got this music. It's very organic. So it kind of reaches across a lot of boundaries. It's whether you listen to hip hop or whether you listen to country or rock or whatever, it's, you know, it's catchy melodies and things that are, it's easy to listen to and easy to understand. And I think people are drawn to that.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. What would you guys say is, now we know the importance of Scripture as believers, and we know the importance of that vertical relationship and that vertical worship experience. What would you say is the uniqueness and the benefit of singing Scripture?
Well, I think partly, I mean, just acknowledging that music is such a great memory tool. You know, I'm embarrassed at the things that I grew up listening to, and the fact that I can still recite like Vanilla Ice.
Uh-huh.
I know every word to it.
Why would you be embarrassed about that?
And I certainly never sat down and said, I'm going to memorize this. But that's just how music works. And just to put Scripture to music, and that might be the things that I would fill my mind with. And even I was sharing with someone earlier about how these songs, I've been using them in my church. I'm a worship leader here in Atlanta, Georgia. And to sing these songs over my congregation, I mean, it is God's word going forth. And, you know, he promises us that his word doesn't return void. And so I know that God's doing something even just through the singing of these songs.
Sure. Wow. What would be the biggest thing that God has taught each of you this past year through Scripture, whether or not it ended up playing into, you know, this album or not? But what really is God teaching you right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me, it's his faithfulness that, you know, despite me sometimes, you know, sinning and doing things wrong, whether I choose to do it or not realizing I'm doing it, that God has such this great love for me, and such a great love for his people, that no, he doesn't want us to sin, but at the same time, despite our sin, one of my favorite scriptures says that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus still died for us. And that to me is just, you know, shows that his love for me is not based on my works. His love for me is not based on anything that I have done or ever could do. It's based on, you know, just that he's my creator and he's my father. And so that's really his faithfulness in that, despite my sin, and his faithfulness to continue what his promises in Scripture, I think, is what has been really I've been reminded of in the past year or so.
Sure.
That's it. Mine's kind of similar. I guess maybe learning to evaluate my life based on God's word rather than my own interpretation of my circumstances. You know what I mean? It's like God says that, you know, in Romans, talks about all things working together for good. Or it talks about in Jeremiah about the plans that he has for us. And I know that in our lives, but just the past couple of years, my husband has had some health issues, you know, and there's the tendency to, you know, cry out to the Lord, you know, why is this happening? You know, how could this possibly be for good? But that really is me, just because I can't understand it, well, it must, God just must have turned his back and let this one slip through the cracks, you know, which is so not true. And even, you know, kind of to bring it back to the CD a little bit, there's a song on there that says, it's from Psalm 146, talks about, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." And even when our souls don't feel like praising God, or maybe we feel like doubting God, just the psalmist's reminder that we're supposed to praise the Lord, even when we don't understand things. And that's one of the big lessons that the Lord's been teaching me in my life.
Sure. Well, I understand that you are willing to sing the first track off of this album, which is called How Great. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It comes from 1 John chapter 3. Verses 1 and 16, and we get a little bit of John 3:16 in there as well, that says, "How great is the love the Father has poured out on us, that we should be called the children of God." And I think that goes back also to what I was saying a minute ago, that we're His children, not because of what we've done or what we could ever do, but because of His love for us, His unconditional love. And so it's an amazing proclamation for us as believers to be called and to claim to be children of God.
Okay, well, we are going to kick back and listen to you. I want to make sure that everyone knows as they're listening, check out this project at gloryrevealed.com. You guys have a tour beginning in, I believe, August, right?
That's correct. We're going to do some shows, about 3 or 4 weeks of shows, between mid-August and the first week of September. And then we're getting the great opportunity to open up for my favorite band in Christian music in October, Third Day.
Your favorite band?
Yeah, it's my favorite band in Christian music.
I have heard that they're okay. So I look forward to hearing more from them. Folks yeah. Folks can write into us here at the show and let us know what they think. I've heard Third Day is pretty good. Yeah.
And I'm a little biased because I remember being like 4 or 5 years old listening to you guys.
Yeah, I appreciate
Oh
that.
My word. Slam. Wow.
Ouch,
okay.
Ouch.
Just kidding.
That's okay. You have a few years left in you, Mac. Don't worry about it. So.
I appreciate that. Thank
All you. Right. Well, let's listen to How Great.
Ready and... How great is the love the Father has poured out on us, that we should be called the children of God. Love the Father has poured out on us, that we should be called the children of God. How great is God's amazing grace, that we should be called the children of God. How great that we believe by faith, and we can be called the children of God. Yeah. The Father that has sent His only Son, that we can be called the children of God. Yeah. And we will never perish if we believe in Him, and we can be called the children of God. How great is God's amazing grace, that we should be called the children of God. The children of God. That is the world we are. Sons and daughters of God. Oh, by this we know love. That He laid down His life for us. How great is the love the Father has poured out on us, that we should be called the children of God.
Children of God.
How great is God's amazing grace, that we should be called the children of God. How great, that we believe by faith, and we can be called the children of God. Yes, we can be called the children of God. Children of God.
All right, yay, folks. That was the first track off of Glory Revealed 2. It's called How Great. That features Mac Powell, Shane Everett, Jonathan Shelton, Brian Littrell. There's like so many people on this album. And that was live, by the way, people. You know, we use a lot of artists' music and stuff and folks that we interview and stuff. But that is like one of our first first live performances. So that was amazing. And we want to make sure that folks know about that and that they get it. I mean, hello, Boundless listeners. If that does not just send you off for your day, you are lame. Okay? I'm just saying. So you need to go out and get this album. Okay, we are going to wrap up here. Just a couple things. I'm going to throw out one more big question for you guys that you have to answer quickly, because like I said earlier, our audience is folks in their 20s and 30s, mostly single. We have a lot of folks in college kind of transitioning through all kinds of stages of life. And I just want to ask you too, you know, having been out and about and having walked through some of these stages yourself, what would be just
having been around the block a few times?
Except for Laura, because apparently she's
except
like 17.
Me.
Yeah,
she's just a wee
whatever.
Kid.
She can make something up. I'm all for it. Yeah. So, but what would really, you know, you see as an encouragement for this generation, for this demographic, as they are seeking to serve the Lord, as they're seeking to immerse themselves in God's Word, seeking to serve him wherever they are, knowing that he's called them to something, knowing that you've been there and have had to listen to God through aspects of your career and family, what would you tell them?
Well, I think for me, kind of my life's message, because I lived it out, is that Jesus said, I've come to this world to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. And I think too often we as believers, yes, we receive salvation because of God's grace, but we miss out on this awesome, amazing, abundant, joy-filled life that we can receive by being his child, by belonging to him. And so that would be my encouragement, is just really spend time with God. I feel like there are three witnesses to God: his Holy Spirit, the Scriptures, and the body of Christ, the church. And I think we have to really spend time with the church, with people in the church, spend time in prayer, receiving God's Spirit, and spend time in God's Word. And that's what we're really trying to bring about with this Glory Revealed record, is to really encourage people to dig deep in God's Word, because they can, where they can see the plan that he has for all of us.
Mm-hmm. And I'd say, to piggyback on that, you were mentioning that a lot of the audience here might be singles in their 20s, and I spent a lot of my 20s single before I got married to my sweet husband. But it truly is a time where you can have just some uninterrupted, long, even just evenings with the Lord, or mornings with the Lord, just sitting before him and learning. And also, you can jump in and be involved in your church in ways that you can't do when you're married, or you can't do when you have a family, whether it's, you know, going on mission trips or just being committed in a different way. And I'd say that there's so much focus about, you know, I can't wait to get married. And I know that's a real struggle, but still there's just so much that can happen when you're able, you know, like the Apostle Paul, to be totally committed to things of the Lord and do his Word.
All right, everyone. Glory Revealed 2. Check it out at gloryrevealed.com. You can find out more about Mac and the whole band at thirdday.com. Get the album. Go out there. Write to us at editor@boundless.org. Tell us what you think. We'll start a conversation here on the blog and on the show as we go forth. So, Mac Powell, Laura Story, thank you both so much for joining us here at the Boundless Show today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
I can't sleep. I can't eat. If I give them what they want, then will they just let me be who I am? I'm not like them. I'm sick of nodding my head at the things that I can't stand. This is it. Oh, my friends, I've tried so hard, but I cannot pretend. Cross my to make it out alive, there I'll be
All right, we are opening up this week's inbox, and I'm in the studio with Steve. Steve, welcome.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, how are you coming off of all of the commentary related to the Rigneris article?
You know, it's good to see a big conversation started. I mean, just kind of dig up all the good and the bad whenever you throw big issue like getting married young out on the table again, but it's good stuff.
Steve's kind of our person here at Focus that when people think getting people married in general, let alone young, they're like, Steve Waters. So I'm sure he's gotten a lot of retweets and a lot of random commentary related to that. So
it's good.
Well, good to have you here because we have an inbox question from a guy. So you need to help him out. This is Josh, and Josh is talking about a girl that he likes.
All right.
So women are very fond of guys who like them, provided that they know what they're doing. So let's help this guy out. Here we go. Josh says, I've liked a girl for a long time, and I finally worked up the nerve to tell her. But it turns out she has a boyfriend. She says it's complicated and that they're off and on. I've been dying to get my feelings off my chest to tell her, but now that she has this boyfriend, it seems kind of pointless. People tell me to just tell her so I can feel better about it, but that seems like a selfish motive because I'd be telling her just so I feel better. It says in the Bible that love is not self-seeking. So I've heard people say that you're still single until you're married. Does that mean I should fight for her even though she's in a relationship?
Josh, I can relate to what you're thinking. I remember these girls that I had a crush on and just had this sense of, even though I know there are other guys in their life, that they just have to know that they keep me up at night and that I think about them all the time, and I need to just lay everything out there, put all my cards on the table. And I do remember doing that one time with a girl who ended up marrying a friend of mine. And I knew that she had some interest in him, but I knew we had spent some time together and that I needed to make sure she knew that I was interested. And so I just still remember the experience of seeing her reaction as I laid all my cards out. And I couldn't tell if it was indigestion or some other sick emotion coming up on her right then. But it was not what I was hoping to get out of her. And realized at that time that even though I had a certain relief in getting everything out on the table, that's no guarantee at all that you're going to get the response that you want. Now, it is good to get your cards on the table, even if there is another guy in the picture, because I know so many stories of people who still pursued someone even though they had other opportunities. My dad, for instance, he approached my mom and said, I'd like to take you out tonight. And she said, well, I already have another date tonight. And he said, well, you need to cancel it because I want to take you out. And he was persistent and he made a stronger case than the other guy that was in her life. And he won out, and I know he would have never had regrets that he took that risk. So it's still possible, and I think that it is often the case that people are in relationships that they're not that serious about, that they've implied they're unavailable because of these relationships, but sometimes they do need a better offer to come along to help them evaluate whether or not it really is a great spot that they're in. But just to say, I'd be careful about doing this along the lines you said, in terms of just so that you can feel better, just so that you can feel relief over it, because it might have a momentary amount of relief, but it really is the beginning of something else. Either it's relief that's going to end with her repulsion, and then you're going to feel sick about making yourself vulnerable like that, or it is going to be reciprocated with some kind of response from her, which means now you've got to get out there and be engaging and compete with this other interest in her life. And so realize it's not going to be a one-time payoff that you get it off your chest and you're done. It's the beginning of something else.
Yeah. Josh, I'm going to weigh in and give you, I guess from the girl's perspective here,
that'd be good.
I'll probably have a little more of a tough love approach because Steve, I agree with you on definitely on portions of that and maybe diverge on a couple things. I'm okay with you, Josh, putting your cards on the table. But the thing is, I think there's a difference that we have to distinguish. And that is, okay, is this girl literally in a relationship with another person where they're giving an honest shot at like a courtship and they're, you know, moving intentionally towards something and probably doing everything right in the sense that we would tell them here at Boundless, or like, you know, Steve's dad. I mean, if this Yahoo dude was just casually dating, you know, this, you know, his mom, then whatever. But I think you need to keep in mind, first of all, you know, you said that you finally worked up the nerve to tell her, well, you know, okay, that's good. But at the same time, you may have, you know, lost a little ground there because now she's dating someone else. And I would say, realistically speaking, this isn't a movie. It's not going to be one of those things where you're going to, you know, run after her necessarily. And, you know, in the movies, they always tell you, you know, you just got to blaze out with something crazy and say, you know, something amazing. And then she's just going to turn around and admit that she's really loved you for 10 years and just couldn't say it. So I don't want to set your hopes up in that sense. But at the same time, I don't think you should go to the opposite extreme and be like sullen and rude and be like, well, now she's with this guy. And so I'm just going to blow her off and, you know, whatever. She made her wrong choice. And so whatever. So, I mean, I think there is an element of stepping back. And I know I don't want to throw out the sovereignty of God too loosely here, but to say that for this time and this place in her story and in your story, you're not dating. If she is, like I said, in an honest and intentional relationship with another guy who's a good guy, I mean, provided he's a believer and stuff like that, you know, maybe you need to let that run its course and see what happens, while at the same time, you know, in a friendship, in an appropriate way, affirm her and, you know, and know, and other people probably will know too, make sure your mentors know that, wow, you know, she is someone that you would pursue given the opportunity. And, you know, you never know what may become available in that sense and in your own story. So I think there's still hope in that for you.
That's good.
So, okay. Well, Josh, we wish you all the best. Let us know how it goes. And do realize, as Mott has said many times on the show, that there is not a one person out there. So when he finally chose Beth, she became the one. So make sure you keep your eyes open, too, for other possibilities, because there are a lot of godly women out there who even now are reading The Girl's Guide to Marrying Well, because it just released. So make sure that you keep your eyes open for other potentials who are out there, and then keep us posted, editor@boundless.org. All the rest of you, write to us as well at that address, and make sure you're keeping us posted on your dating life or non-existent dating life, because we want to help you walk down that road with intentionality and with your focus on Christ. So make sure you do it. And I think that's it for this week's Inbox. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org. Focus on the family.